Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Simate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nityanamine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Askatyare Shatarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sivashadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Bruhi Yogeshvare Krishne Brahmanye Dharma Varmani Svam Kashtam Maduno Pete Dharmakam Sharanam Gataha. Since Sri Krishna, the Absolute Truth, the Master of all mystic powers, has departed for his own abode, please tell us to whom the religious principles have now gone for shelter. The answer to this question is given in the first canto, chapter 3, text 43. Krishne svadhama pogate dharma gyanadi bisaha kalo nashta drishamesha purana kodunodita. This Bhagavad Purana, this is the answer of Sutta Goswami. This Bhagavad Purana is as brilliant as the sun, and it has arisen just after the departure of Lord Krishna to his own abode, accompanied by religion, knowledge, etc. Persons who have lost their vision due to the dense darkness of ignorance in the age of Kali shall get light from this Purana. So Krishna has disappeared from the planet Earth, and as he did disappear, the Earth was thrown into darkness by the personality of Kali, who entered the atmosphere of the Earth at the exact same time when Krishna exited. So, but it was only an appearance of an exit. Krishna has not left us alone. He appeared, here it is, in the pages of the Bhagavatam. And the Bhagavatam arose in that darkness which was brought about by Kali, just like a brilliant sun which can give vision to those who have lost their vision due to the Kali's influence. Srila Prabhupada speaks about this. In the purport, the personality of Godhead Sri Krishna appeared before us just a little prior to the beginning of Kali Yuga, and he returned in his to his eternal home practically at the commencement. Commencement means beginning, isn't it? This is the beginning of Kali Yuga. While he was present, he exhibited everything by different activities. He spoke the Bhagavad Gita specifically and eradicated all pretentious religious principles. And prior to his departure from this material world, he empowered Srila Vyasadeva through Narada to compile the messages of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And thus both the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam are like torch bearers for the blind people of this age. In other words, if men in this age of Kali want to see the real light of life, they must take to these two books only, and their aim of life will be fulfilled. One who can, and Prabhupada ends, I will jump over a few sentences to come to his ending. One who can see Srimad Bhagavatam can see also Lord Sri Krishna in person. Oops. They are identical. Let us touch. These are powerful statements. In today's lecture, because you are students of Sanskrit, I would like to discuss a little bit how to approach Krishna in the pages of Shastra, what attitudes we should take on, what maybe techniques, reading techniques and techniques of understandings we should use, where we must be careful, where we must go ahead with full enthusiasm. Like this, I would like to touch these subject matters. Now, in the second canto, chapter 8, text 4, you will find a very important shloka, which tells us a little bit how to approach the Bhagavatam. Your hearts will rejoice as you hear this shloka, because it will give you a very good guideline how to do so. Persons who hear Srimad Bhagavatam regularly and are always taking the matter very seriously will have the personality of Godhead Sri Krishna manifested within their hearts within a short time. So in Sanskrit it says Shrinvata, those who hear, how? Shradaya, in earnestness, and Nityam, regularly or always, and Grinata, they take the matter Svasheshtitam, seriously, by their own endeavor. These are the qualifications, or these are the ways in which we approach the text. I will position the words now a little differently. It should be done regularly. That means every day we should hear the Bhagavatam, and it's very, very wonderful to see how you are reading a chapter regularly. I remember how Prabhupada instructed us in the beginning of his movement that we should regularly, every day, chant one chapter only. And he made it simple for us. He said we should always read the second chapter of the first canto. And he said, if you do this, you will become a great scholar. This is a blessing which the Bhagavatam showers upon you. If you regularly chant one chapter, you will become a great scholar just by this regular Bhagavat Seva, this service to the Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam will be pleased upon you and shower you, and you will become a great scholar just by this. Because you do Seva, and there is blessing. Then, two words, Shraddhaya, in earnestness, or we also know it's with earnestness means faith, full faith, and Grinata, taking the matter, Grinata Svasheshtitam, take the matter seriously by your own endeavor. See, Svasheshtitam means your own endeavor must be there. You must have that spark of enthusiasm in your heart to do this own endeavor, cheshtitam, to study the Bhagavatam, to learn. A teacher can help you very, very much, but you must also provide a fertile heart for the teacher, and that heart is given here. Grinata svacheshtitam. You must make its own endeavor, a serious endeavor. So when you do this here regularly with faith and with a serious effort to hear the Bhagavatam, then the Bhagavatam, the sound incarnation of Lord Krishna, will enter your heart. It will sit on your heart and thus clean the dust of material associations such as lust, anger and hankering. At another place, in the first canto, it says also this constant anxiety will go, this paya, this fear will go out of the heart. Krishna will work on you like autumnal rains act upon pools of muddy water. Let us study this example, please. When in Bengal, there are these pukurs, and due to the summer season, they become dried out, very muddy, and with a stench. There are some usually fish who have died due to the heat, who smell like Agasura's breath smelled, and there is garbage. You know, the environmental habits of the Indian populace was not always entirely impressive. So they smell really, these pukurs. They are a place where mosquitoes and other insects who carry deadly poisonous diseases are there. But when the autumnal rain come, the monsoon, these pukurs become filled up first, and then they become washed out. All this stenchy, fouly, ill, disease-carrying water will be flushed over the land and enter Ganga Devi, who just purifies all this and carries it into the ocean. This is when you regularly hear the Bhagavatam. The sound vibration will enter into the heart, which is in the conditioned state not always a very, very nice place. There are these contaminations of what were the contaminations here. Moment. Shamalam, material qualities like lust, anger, avarice and hankering. Krishna will all take this out of the heart, and by this regular process of hearing, he will wash all this. Do you know what is a punk? A punk is a person who is like a drunkard and I think we don't have Indian punks. We have Indian drunkards, but they have very, very ferocious hairstyles, looking like, yeah. And they like to wear chains and be dressed in black cloth, which is stained by the vomit which comes when they drink beer and cannot digest it properly. So once we were in a preaching program, and the lecturer spoke in English, and I was sitting opposite to him at the end of the hall, translating his lecture into the German language. The people who only spoke German had headphones to hear it. And so on. And just before me was a punk who in the course of the lecture was lying down. And as he was lying down, two rats came out of his jacket. He kept them as pets with him. And half a year later, I met him in the Navayiyada Nishinga Chetra farm, where Gopi Parananda, you have been there. We call the farm now Singhachalam. That name is somehow better according to Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu. So he was there and he was taking care of the cows, and he had very nice shaved clean hair and very good effulgence. And I looked at him and said, "Were you the person who was at one time in his life keeping two pets?" I didn't want to say what were the pets, because maybe he was not the person, and then it would have been a very offensive question. And he smiled at me and said, "Yes, I had two rats. I gave them away. I'm now different." And I asked him, "Can you explain to me what made the difference?" And he said, "Well, I do not know, but maybe it's the Bhagavatam which we hear here regularly." And then he said, I found this verse in the Bhagavatam, Pravishta Kanarandrena Svanam Bhavasaro Ruham Dhunoti Shamalam Krishna Salilasya Yathasara. This is the following shloka, second canto, 8th chapter, text 5. Huh? Text 4 we have read. It says, it told us how we should approach the Srimad Bhagavatam with faith and earnestness regularly and with a sincere effort. Then the Lord will come. And here is the result of what happens. The sound incarnation of Lord Krishna, the Supreme Soul, enters into the heart of a self-realized devotee, sits on the lotus flower of his loving relationship, and thus cleanses the dust of material association, such as lust, anger, and hankering. Thus it acts like autumnal rains upon pools of muddy water. Now, Srila Prabhupada tells us another way how we approach the Bhagavatam. For now, does anyone remember what should we do? What are the three ways we should do? Regularly, with faith, shraddha, and earnestness, and then swasheshtitam, giving our endeavor. Three things. Please keep this in your mind, because we will hear more now. Srila Prabhupada, in one of his purports, tells us another quality. This is the canto 1, chapter 3, text 44 from the purport I'm reading to you. He says, very, very nice, simple hearing is not all. So it's not sufficient. One must realize the text with proper attention. And then he says how we can come there. One should hear with rapt attention from the real person. And then he can at once realize the presence of Lord Krishna in every page. The secret of knowing Bhagavatam is mentioned here. What is the secret? Rapt. Attention. Yeah, attention. But here's a problem. Prabhupada tells us the problem. No one can give rapt attention who is not pure in mind. That's why it's so difficult for us sometimes to concentrate. Our mind is vibrating with so many material sounds. Our subtle body is so much filled with these old sanskaras. It's not pure, it's an impure mind. No one can be pure in mind who is not pure in action. Yes, you must act properly, not quarrel, have a very humble attitude towards the other students, because it's seen in psychology that which occupies the mind for the longest time is a quarrelsome relationship with someone else. When you have a bad relationship with someone, then you think from morning till evening about this thing. This robs our attention very much. Humility as a student is very important, especially there is this shloka which is said in Vedic times before the classes, may we never quarrel, teacher and student. I mean, there should be a humble mood. So no one can give rapt attention who is not pure in mind, and no one can be pure in mind who is not pure in action. No one can be pure in action who is not pure in eating, sleeping, fearing and mating. That's why we have the four rules and regulations. But somehow or other, if someone hears with rapt attention from the right person, at the very beginning one can assuredly see Lord Shri Krishna in person, in the pages of Bhagavatam. It's very, very interesting that Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his celebrated Harinam Chintamani, tells us that one may avoid all other offenses, but if one is inattentive, one still will not develop love of Godhead. Attention is extremely important when you approach a sacred text. Attention is really the key. Inattention is called pramada, which has also the meaning craziness, and for a crazy person he can't understand anything. So attention is very, very important. On the Japa retreat, we learned one very simple technique of attention in regards to the holy name. Would you be willing to make a little experiment with me on this attention? Yes? We learned that for the mind, it may be difficult to concentrate when it knows there is a huge bulge of things ahead to concentrate. Therefore, concentrate on one mantra. I want to request you to make this experiment with me. We will now chant in one voice the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and you are requested to concentrate on one mantra. Now when the next mantra comes, you have to concentrate on one mantra. But as you chant, concentrate on one mantra, don't think, oh, the next one will come. Just be with your full attention in the present of chanting this. Is the task understood? Good. So what we will do is, I will chant once alone, then you will get your signal, and that means we should all chant together with concentrating on one mantra. My secret tip is start with Hare, the first Hare, to enter, to lock your attention on the sound vibration. And then we will chant just a few mantras, and we will see miracles happening in our mind. Our mind will become peaceful, first of all, in the mode of goodness. And then revelations could happen. I mean, I don't think they will happen now, because we will only chant very, very briefly, minimally. So please listen. Please do sit in an appropriate way, so that your bodily posture will not create sluggishness, in your mind. I will chant alone, and when your signal comes, you will please chant with full attention, concentrating on one mantra. I don't even say at a time, only one mantra. This is the only, keep this, is your task, one mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, continue. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you. Some of you could not connect the mind with a mantra. The way you connect your mind with the mantra is connected with the experience of hearing. Please try again. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. So thank you very much. This was the second process. Rapt attention is very, very important. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu uses the word nirbandha. Nirbandha means a certain number, but it can also mean to bring your mind where your action is. When you study, in other words, you have to see that it is not a mechanical, mindless study, but bring your mind fully to the practice. I would like to now offer a third way how you can chant. I'm so much in the japa retreat. How you can study with the maximum of benefit. I would like to quote the Skanda Purana for your enlightenment. I'm reading to you from a magazine called Sri Krishna Kathamritam, where the glories of the Srimad Bhagavatam are enumerated. Here in the Skanda Purana, Suta Goswami tells the sages in Naimisharanya. It's a beautiful picture. See, here is Suta Goswami on the Vyasasan, and before him sit many sages who are listening with faith, who listen with regularly. It's 7 days non-stop, and I don't really know how long it was that our hearing. Do we know how long the second hearing went? And they read with, they give their best endeavor, and let us assume they listen with rapt attention. No one sleeps or is so distressed that his mind goes in another thing. Now, Sutta Goswami explains them another set of how they should hear. He says, Shotaro tani rupyante Srimad Vishnu katashrayaha. Katashraya means to take shelter in the katha. Pravara avarascheti shrotaro dvi vidha mataha. Now I will describe the hearers of the Bhagavatams, dedicated to the narrations of Sri Vishnu's glories. These listeners are considered to be of two kinds, superior listeners and inferior listeners. The superior hearers are the sparrows, swan, parrot, fish, and others. The inferior hearers are called the wolf, burunda bird, bull, camel, and others. So he will now tell us what he, what we could learn from these superior hearers, and then he will also say what we should avoid, what qualities we should avoid. The first one is the sparrow. In Sanskrit, the word chataka is mentioned. Who is a chataka? What is his specific quality for which he is famous? Any one of you remembers? Yes, Prabhuji. Yes. They are selective. They do not take any water. They take only cloud water. In the same, they do not want earthly things. They want spiritual things which come from above. Huh? So here it is said what we should learn, the first quality. One who ignores everything else and is only intent on listening to Krishna's scriptures is a sparrow, a chataka, like the sparrow who is intent on the water released from a cloud. So in other words, exclusive dedication is necessary. I would say because it sounds such a high demand. When you study, give rapt attention. When you have not rapt attention, there is no exclusivity. But if you give rapt attention, then you really fix yourself only on that and nothing else. Huh? It's more or less an illustration to this rapt attention. Listen with rapt attention. Then comes the next quality. You should be like a swan. Anyone remembers what a swan is famous for? Yes. We could mix. We will not do. But we could mix this water with milk, and this swan, by some gift of Krishna, would be able to separate the milk from the water and accept only the milk. It's amazing. How he does it? It is by Krishna's investment of a certain vibhuti. So the swan is he who takes the essence from various scriptures, just as a swan extracts pure milk from water mixed with milk. So the swan-like hearer, maybe that's a better translation, is he who takes the essence from various scriptures. Don't become sidetracked with so many things. Sometimes devotees ask, Maharaj, why there are so many names and so many dynasties and so many in the Bhagavatam? Who can remember all these little stories even? There is an essence of this. The reason is that one commentator I heard explained that Parikshit Maharaj should not be sorry for leaving the body. So many dynasties have come and gone. This is what Shukadev Goswami said. It's nothing new under the sun, so to say, that someone leaves and that dynasty goes, because he's the last one of the Pandavas. It should not be so. so sad because of this. Some essence needs to be understood here. So, then the parrot here is highlighted. By speaking little, only what is appropriate, the parrot pleases Vyasadev, the listeners, the instructor, and the audience, who are well engaged in reciting the scriptures, just like an ordinary parrot. So, you should speak what is appropriate and little. Then you please Vyasadev. And now comes someone you shouldn't speak at all when you study the scriptures. Nothing else. The eager hearer, who while relishing the nectar does not speak for even a moment, is like a fish in the ocean of milk. The fish doesn't speak when he's in the ocean of milk. No time for speaking. He's in the enjoying. So this is how. And then there are different types of unqualified hearers. Would you like to hear this? We will only read one, so you can choose. Would you like to hear what the wolf-like hearer is like? How the Burunda bird is like? How the bull-like hearer is? How the camel-like hearer is? What is your preference? Camille? No, we want all. Okay. If you're still attentive, then we will. A fool who makes rude comments and gives trouble to the expert hearers is a wolf. Just like the wolf in the forest who disturbs the deer engrossed in the beauty of a flute's song. And there may be a little boy playing a flute, like you find in India and in Nepal. And the deer may hear very nicely, what a good song is there. But the wolf comes, so making bad comments and giving trouble to the expert hearers, that is like the wolf-like hearer. Isn't it sometimes we have this, we have a devotional assembly, and then someone with so many doubts and so many argumentative spirit comes and no one wants to hear them, but he goes woof, 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 like the wolf, and we become disturbed in our heart. It's not necessary. We are just relishing the nectar here. Don't now bring your disturbed mind into this. Isn't it? We feel like that. So, then comes the Burunda bird. I can't tell you what is a Burunda bird. But he seems to live at the peaks of the Himalayas. A Burunda bird, no, a Burunda listener teaches others without himself having actually heard and practiced, like the Burunda bird on the peaks of the Himalayas. You know, when you are teaching or preaching, speak from your realization. It's very important. Otherwise, it will not affect the audience. Why is this? There is a statement, or not a statement, I heard it from Burijan Prabhu. I didn't ask him for a Shastric Praman, but it gives so much sense. That which is in the heart of the speaker, that really goes to the audience. If you have realized a subject and you speak about this from realization, then the audience will go immediately, yes, they will take it serious. But if you only mouth something which you have heard, it will not go as deep. Now this Prabhupada did tell us in the beginning that to just repeat what the expert teacher has said is not entirely useless. He said it is also potent. I believe here, so repeating faithfully, you don't have to wait, in other words, before you preach or teach, before everything is realized in your heart. That was Prabhupada's point, if you faithfully repeat. But here the Skanda Purana speaks of the importance of hearing a subject and practicing the subject. It's something else. It has nothing to do with it does not speak about realization. It speaks about practice. Only if you practice what you teach are you entitled to really teach. Don't be like the Burunda bird who apparently doesn't practice his sounds, the sounds he makes. Now would you like to hear what the bull-like hearer does wrong? One who accepts everything he hears, blind to what is important or not important, is a bull-like hearer, like a bull who sees no difference between tasty grapes and dry oil cakes. He doesn't distinguish what is important and unimportant. He doesn't have his brain with him. Yesterday a bull came to our katha at the Govardhan Hill, and he was eating something, and just next to him one Mataji had placed good German bread, but this gave great pain to my national feelings. He ignored the good German bread to just eat something. I mean, he could have had this anywhere and everywhere. So then comes the camel. Camel, like here, is similar. He who rejects what is sweet and instead takes pleasure in the opposite is like a camel who leaves aside sweet mangoes and feeds himself with lemons. But then it's summarized how you should approach the Shastra. One who presents himself before the speaker with folded palms as a trusting disciple who bows down as enjoins, avoids other talks and is humble, very expert and eager to hear, who is serious to give careful thought to what he hears, who likes to ask questions and is pure and always affectionate to Krishna's devotees, is called by the speakers a proper hearer. This is on this subject matter, the qualified listener, the last verse really, it summarizes a little bit what we have heard. Be humble, be in the receptive mood, bow down, avoid talk, be serious to give it a careful thought, ask questions for clarification, and be affectionate towards the devotees of Krishna. This will qualify you to approach this scripture with maximum benefit. I would like to now end this class by giving you, you are students of Gopi Paranadana, you have a huge receptivity for subjects, so I will load another list on you. This traditional way of learning Shastra is given in the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. There are three steps. You all know this. Shravan, Manaha, and Nididhyasana. Reading I would like to include in Shravan, because just like today when you read the Bhagavatam, you actually recited and then heard the shlokas. Reading can be compared like bringing a morsel of food to the mouth. You are attentive when you bring the morsel of food to the mouth, but you are not yet benefiting. If you just read or hear without the second stage, the benefit is like food which you bring to the mouth. It smells good, and there is some dispellation of fatigue, I believe. If we would bring a sweet ball now before a fatigued listener, he would feel encouraged, you know. Oh, soon the sweet ball is available. Very good. But manaha, reflecting, is necessary, and that is like biting and chewing on the morsel. Reflecting means you interpret, you analyze, and you allow yourself to become affected. What is being said? What is the meaning? What is the essence? Uncover it. Reflect. The next is nididhyasana, contemplating or some meditating. This is like a person who enjoys a sweet which delights and refreshes and nourishes his body. Especially for intellectuals like you, sometimes a sweet is required to nourish your intellect. No, this is Ayurvedic. You're laughing? No, it is really said like this, no? You have not yet heard? Who is a study of Ayurveda, a student of Ayurveda? You have heard, huh? It is, in, please speak. It brings some energy somehow to the. I don't know how it works, how it affects the subtle body, but we know of alcohol, for instance, affecting the subtle body in an adverse way, that it talks, you talk incoherently. So the sweet is in moderate proportions. It doesn't mean, you know, that you make a criminal attack against the sweet waller here and eat one of his huge pilings of some prapti, is it called? In modern, a little bit, half a samprapti, you can go again. And so this contemplating, there you really begin to enjoy and become nourished. But Valadev Vidyabhushana makes a point that Vaishnavas don't just learn by Shravanam, hearing, Manaha, reflecting, and Nididhyasana. Vaishnavas, and this is a Vaishnav school, they learn by praying, asking for the mercy, asking for realizations on the scriptures. You know, when Mahaprabhu had just finished his Upadesh to Sanatana Goswami, Sanatana Goswami said, please, in order to bring the subjects to maturation in my heart, put your lotus feet on my head now. He asked for mercy, in other words. Pray for mercy. This is very, very important. The ideal Vaishnava, student of the scripture, we find in the episode where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu goes to Sri Rangam and finds a Brahmana chanting the Bhagavad Gita at the top of his voice, but with Sanskrit mispronunciation. People surround this enthusiastic but unexpert Brahmana and laugh about him and ridicule him. I mean, it's like Prave Karne Rundre No, you know, like really tearing the Sanskrit apart. He was chanting like this. And they were laughing like you have just now laughed about me. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was, his attention was attracted, and he went to this poor Brahmana and he asked him, Brahmana, you are chanting the Gita, but you do not know Sanskrit? Yes, I'm chanting. Because my Guru Maharaj has ordered me to chant the Gita. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, but I see tears in your heart. It is obviously, in your eyes, it's obviously moving you. Some effect is there. May not understand, I mean, it was clear he didn't understand what he was reading, but he was moved, and so something came in the heart. Then he said, the Brahmana, see, the moment I chant, I see in my mind's eye how Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, became the chariot driver of his devotee. God became the servant. This devotee, and this solidly moves me, I cry. That's why I cry. Mahaprabhu embraced that Brahmana and he validated his reading. He said, you are the true understanding of the Bhagavad Gita, because there was this devotion and aspect. So when we are here in the I will say it now by heart. Srimad Bhagavata Vidyapitam, something like it. When we are here, let us remember these different instructions, how we can approach the text for maximum benefit, but let us also know that the key to the understanding is in this word Shraddhaya, with full faith we should hear. And we should pray to Lord Krishna. We are after all dealing with his, many times with his own words, or with his sound representation, the Shastras. Some prayer is necessary. Therefore, we always pray before we start reading to our spiritual master. So devotion is the key. Devotion is the key. So I'm thanking you very much for giving your well-esteemed attention to this presentation. I'm awed by you, because I do not know Sanskrit, unfortunately. I cannot even read the Devanagari. I know it's a great embarrassing situation. Often I thought in my life it would be good to know Sanskrit for preaching. It would give substance to what we say and do. It's very, very, very valuable, but I'm now past 50, my mind forgets many things, and so on. It's a little late, and my life has developed in another direction. But I really want to encourage you, invest this time. I heard the whole education is 3 years, or is 3 years, and make your sankalpa, your intention, to invest this time to really learn it properly. You will really be able to use it for the rest of your life in a very, very good way. It's a little cheshtitam endeavor to stay that long in India and find out mosquitoes attack our bodies, and in the summer heat is also available in India. Yeah, in big proportions, heat is fully available. I do not know. Maybe there are school holidays also, but whatever the time is of the study, I can only encourage you make this investment and don't think it is a luxury. You are really serving the Bhagavatam by this. You serve Krishna by this. It's full devotional service. To study the texts is a full devotional service. And make yourself fit. And I can believe you will be able to help our movement then later in tremendous ways in your future. Some of you might pursue for other roads from there, like academic roads, like the one I only know of, this Oxford Center for Vedic Studies, I believe it's called, and for Hindu and Vedic studies or something, Oxford thing. Very, 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 very impressed by this. We in Germany have an academy called Veda Academy, where we offer a Sanskrit course for beginner, and maybe you can help us to upgrade the Sanskrit course for advanced people. And there are many things you can really do in as devotional service. So I want to thank you very much. Do you have any brief questions? Madan Mohan has one. Your good name? Sanatan Goswami Prabhu. And our, yes, good, Damodar Gopal, this is a good name, yes, we will take three questions. In other words, Madan Mohan, yes, here. Yeah. Yes. How should we ask questions? I will not speak now in a about what you as students of Gopi Parana Prabhu how to do that, because I'm not totally familiar how the teaching is going on. But in general, questions should be asked in a humble mood. You know, Krishna speaks about this qualification in the fourth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Tadvidi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya upadikshyanti te jnanam jnaninas tatvadashinaha. Dashinaha is plural. One should approach those who know tatvadashinaha with surrender and with service, really, and ask questions on this basis. When you wish to know some subject, it's really an information which comes into your knowledge by the power of blessings. And blessings always flow from above to below, just like water flows from a higher altitude to a lower altitude. So if you want to know anything, you must place yourself in a position where you can receive something. This is in the traditional, this is, has totally gone away in the Western way of study. But here it is known for anything. Even if you learn, you want to know, let us say, a subject like music, playing on the veena, no? Then you will have to take on a lower position to your teacher, because only then when you are in this position, can you receive the blessings of knowledge? Knowledge is a blessing. There are many stories, for instance, in the Mahabharata, when the teacher becomes displeased, then the knowledge goes away. You remember Karna, who lost the important mantra at the time of greatest need to use an astra, because he had displeased Parushuram. So ask questions in a humble state of mind, and one expression of humility is seva, service. It's a expression or a humility is not a mental thing only. It's not restricted to the realm of words. It must flow into the realm of deeds. That means manifest in service. Another way to a thing on question asking which comes to mind is don't ask a question where you think you have the answer in your mind. Then it's a discussion. A question is more you say something. That is what comes to mind immediately. But here in the Sanskrit school, I prefer really to speak offering pramanas, proofs to what I say. So I will not talk about the other many things which come to mind. Yeah, I once heard that there are two types of questions. Oh no, here it comes. Here it comes. In one commentary of the Bhagavatam, there is three types of discussions are made. Some, a discussion where you want to know the truth, tattva. A question where you do vitanda. You quarrel. Vitanda, is it quarreling? Am I correct? Or?
Technically, it's not cavilling. You're just interested in knocking down the other person's argument.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. So here you're not interested in the truth. You want to really knock the other person's argument by any, however you can get the culprit, you will get him. Yeah. And such a discussion is not good. You know, you should look for truth. Don't we have this sometimes? You know, I have often been in situations where I just felt, wait a minute, the person just doesn't like me and he just wants to show that I'm a fool. All right, then it's best to just accept it immediately. Otherwise, you waste so much time and come late for prasadam. There is such a discussion where you just want to. You're not after the truth, but you're after the winning an argument. This is not how to ask questions. Anything on this? Anyone else has a... yes, we had a third inquirer. No, this was the second inquirer. Yes, please. What is your question, Prabhu?
Thank you very much for your class. My question is regarding your book. In your book, you wrote that if one thinks that he's liberated, it's not good for his spiritual advancement. And sometimes, honestly speaking, such thoughts, they come to my mind that when I chant japa, when I attempt all problems, I think, no problem, I'm liberated. Could you please elaborate what is the reason that it's not so good for spiritual advancement, please?
Well, a full glass cannot receive new nectar. Huh? Simple, in other words, when you think you are complete, you cannot learn any longer. A beginner's mind is very good for spiritual life. The true spiritualist will always take on this attitude, a beginner's mind. then he can go into a new land. I'm sure I meant it in this context. Thank you very much for your nice question. Prabhuji, your name was long and had a Damodar in it.
Damodar Gopal.
Damodar Gopal. This sounds like a name given by Jayapataka Maharaj. Correct?
No.
No. Okay, please ask your question.
When you explain the three stages of knowledge, of receiving knowledge, like hearing,
Manaha, reflecting, and then Nididhyasyan.
I couldn't quite understand the difference between Manas and Nidhi.
Nididhyasyan is there is a difference between reflecting, just thinking about it, and meditating. It's a difference in depth. Meditating, huh? When we reflect, that tends to be a little intellectual, but through meditating, we on a subject matter and really taking it to heart, we go much deeper and more existentially into the subject. Gopi Pranandana Prabhu, I'm very interested in the three steps, Shravana, Manaha, and Nididhyasyan. I must tell you, this is how I understand it, but could you maybe elaborate a little bit and say a little bit more about what's the deciding difference between Manaha and Nididhyasyan?
I'm just thinking that simple Manaha, pondering, mental exercise, you're sorting things out. You try out, quite hypothetically, you could entertain various interpretations.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not systematic, and you may try out things that turn out to be wrong. But when you've decided that this is what, is the truth, then you just focus on it and you don't entertain irrelevant thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Meditation really is completely focused on one thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Go to the yoga shastras to study more about the methods of deep meditation.
Mm-hmm. 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 Yeah. We had said that they can only take three questions because time is also there. Please forgive me. I do have to be back to the at the other event. I wish you. Please forgive me. I would love to stay longer, but I will go and I will go with a glass of milk by a Surabhi cow. We will immediately put it into the heating. And I want to thank you very, very much for listening like the Chataka birds or like the swans, what I wanted to say. I might have said many things which are not so relevant, but please take the essence out of it. Do it as an investment in your devotional life, this study, and you will be very, very benefited by this time, especially at a place which is so, so greatly conducive as Giriraj Govardhan. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi Gonitai ki jai, Gaura Premanandi Hari Hari Bo.
Krishna, Krishna.
Commentary class will start at half hour late, 10:30. Be there on time at 10:30, we'll have a half hour.
Then also, now we're going to follow up on Thursday, so.
Oh, Haribo! May you never be born again. Hare Krishna. That would be nice.